Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Gerard, Gelser, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, excuse for business of the House, Nolan, Patty Smith. The flag salute will be led by Representative Chris Edwards.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony will be presented by Don Behem, Humanist Minister of Beaverton, and a guest of Representative Carolyn Tomei.
Hi, I'm Don Behem, a Humanist Minister for 21 years, a retired clinical psychologist, a certified transactional analyst, and a cable access television talk show producer and host. On my TV show, I'm known as Dr. Don. First, let me thank you for inviting me here today to address you before you start your so very important work here today. I also want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your effort in making our state, Oregon, and our country the wonderful model of freedom and democracy that I'm convinced our forefathers had in mind when they wrote our beautiful Constitution. I've titled my brief talk to you today, Living Lovingly. For me, living lovingly means KFC. No, not the KFC you're familiar with, but my own KFC. My own unique acronym that is a reminder of what I'm supposed to be about in my life today and every other day for the rest of my life. KFC is my personal reminder of how to actually live lovingly in the moment. Spelled out then, KFC is K for kind, F for friendly, and C for charitable. Kind, friendly, and charitable. That's what KFC means to me. The K in my KFC means that if I see a person in the supermarket parking lot, obviously trying to hold the car door open and get the groceries in while preventing the shopping cart from careening across the parking lot to who knows where, I gladly take the brief time to ask if I may help and do so if my offer is accepted. The F in my KFC means that if I'm in the checkout line waiting my turn and someone who seems to be just waiting like me happens to glance my way, I tentatively offer a passing time stroke like, "What do you think of this weather?" Or, "Your baby is so cute." Or, "You're going to watch the Super Bowl Sunday?" The C in my KFC means that if someone I care about is uncharacteristically discounting or rude to me, I take care of my own hurt internally and respond in a way that someone senses that I care about them and the discomfort or pain at the moment. These are top-of-the-head personal examples of instances of how I'm personally implementing my KFC. I'm getting better at it as time goes by. And let me tell you, it's a real joy. Perhaps you wonder why I chose to talk to you about something that you hear and read and probably experience daily in your own professional and personal lives. I'm talking about living lovingly. I presume that because of your choice of being of service to the community, you have as much care about fellow human beings as anyone, and consequently, like me, you're open to any means at all toward being what I call KFC, that is, living lovingly. I ask you then to experiment with this approach to living lovingly. On my TV show, I talk about Dr. Don's KFC. If it helps and you like it, you have my permission to name it for yourself. Representative X KFC, Harry's KFC, Mary's KFC. If it doesn't work for you, the next time you see me, you can punish me with a big smile and a hug. Or a little hug. Again, thank you so very, very much for extending to me the high honor and privilege of allowing me to address you here today. I sincerely hope that my remarks may be of some value to you in the future. Thank you again, and good day.
Thank you very much for your remarks. Courtesies. Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, you just heard from Dr. Don Bayham, who is a certified minister from the Humanist Society of Friends Division of Humanist American Humanist Association and a member of the Humanists of the Greater Portland Area. Dr. Don performs the rites and proceedings performed by traditional religious clergy when requested. Don Bayham was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, and is the youngest of 12 children. He does have a public access television show that shows in Washington County on a regular basis and is also shown in Multnomah County. Unfortunately, it's not shown in my county, which is Clackamas. Don Bayham is an advocate of social responsibility as exemplified by what he calls living lovingly. Thank you, Dr. Don, for coming today, and please extend courtesies to Don Bayham today and also to his friends Randy Bartlett and Brad Elliott, who are on the side aisle waving to us. Thank you so much.
Representative Holdy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'm really excited today to introduce one of the honorary pages today from my district, Mary James. If you would stand up, Mary. Her parents, Brian James and Mandy Thompson. Mary attends Spencer Butte Middle School, where, oddly enough, I coached a girls' basketball team for a couple of years, a little-known fact. Many people would be surprised at that because I guess I attempted to coach the girls' basketball team is probably a better way to put it. But I really enjoyed that, and I really think a lot of her school, Spencer Butte Middle School, a great little school in our community. Mary is interested in, she is a student council representative, a little bit of politics there, and she's also in the drama club. So it sounds like she fits the description of many of us here. I'm thinking of Peter Buckley, for example, the good representative from south of my area. So anyway, welcome, Mary. Great to have you here.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a guest here today. Stand up, Dana. Dana McLean from Independence. She's our honorary page today. She's in the seventh grade. She's 12 years old. She goes to Talmadge Middle School. She's interested in basketball, and she wants to be a veterinarian. She likes animals. Please welcome her to the Capitol today, and I'm glad she's here.
Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please join me in welcoming my special guest today, another honorary page. Ryan, will you stand up? Ryan is a homeschool student from Corvallis. He's the son of Christina and Jason Nelson, and Christina is here today up in the side aisle. We can greet her, too. And Ryan has two sisters, Alicia and Emma, and a very nice brother named Joshua. He plays soccer and basketball and is very active in 4-H. He raises sheep and beef. participates in livestock and judging, and he was the reserve champion for a Suffolk ewe, which was very exciting, and I got to watch that sheep get sold at the fair. He is a member of the junior leadership of 4-H, and he worked to provide Christmas trees for low-income families. Ryan's also interested in math, science, and computers, and does a little bit of everything, and is a really great young man, and I hope you all have a chance to meet him today. So welcome to the Capitol, Ryan.
Welcome, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my privilege to introduce to the Assembly today our honorary page, Joelle Manahan, who is a student at Spencer Butte Middle School, a very fine public school in the Eugene School District. She is especially interested in history as an academic subject, and her long-term career goals include teaching and social work. Welcome, Joelle.
Further courtesies. Messages from the Governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate has passed Senate Bill 48, Senate Bill 5498, and adopted SJR 3.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
HJR 12, in memoriam Logan Leighton Will, 1984 to 2006. HJM 22, urging Congress to amend Federal Power Act to specifically address and encourage development of wave energy. HJR 55, proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to reserve fund. SJR 3, proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to corporate tax revenues.
May just read first time or pass the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Propositions and motions. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request a recess for purpose of a Republican caucus.
Thank you. And for how long?
Unknown.
Okay. Very good. Should we say 60 minutes?
Yes, sir. That'll be fine.
Representative Hunt?
House Democrats will just caucus very briefly on the floor right now.
There is a recess motion without objection. So granted.
The clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Flores. Galizio. Garrard. Gelser. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlick. Greenlick Hannah. Hannah Holvey. Holvey Hunt. Hunt Jensen. Comp. Kotek. Krieger. Crummel. Crummel Lim. McPherson. McPherson Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nathanson. Nelson. Nelson Nolan. Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Roblin Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Schaffler Scott, Scott Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Barnhart, Dingfelder, Greenlick, Hannah, Hunt, Crummel, McPherson, Nelson, Schaffler, Scott, Mr. Speaker.
Members, when we recessed, we were under the order of propositions and motions.
The chair requests unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of business of first reading of House bills. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
House Bill 3066 relating to public borrowing for City of Hillsborough Park and Facility appropriate money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3080 relating to low-income electric bill payment assistance. House Bill 3082 relating to registration fees for vehicle imposed by county. House Bill 3083 relating to minors. House Bill 3084 relating to attorney fees for tort claims of specified amount. House Bill 3085 relating to closure of workers' compensation claims. House Bill 3091 relating to emergency volunteer health practitioners. House Bill 3094 relating to payment for medical services. House Bill 3096 relating to licensure of dentists. House Bill 3098 relating to alcoholic liquor. House Bill 3099 relating to safe drinking water. House Bill 3100 relating to exemptions to requirements for corporations organized to provide health care services. House Bill 3101 relating to study of costs of tobacco-related illnesses to public health system. House Bill 3102 relating to community spouse resource allowance. House Bill 3103 relating to public disclosure of rate filing information. House Bill 3104 relating to urban renewal agencies. House Bill 3105 relating to Board of Public Safety Standards and Training. House Bill 3106 relating to officer training. House Bill 3107 relating to insurance and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3108 relating to tax expenditures. House Bill 3109 relating to birth certificates. House Bill 3110 relating to legislative testimony. House Bill 3116 relating to firearms seizures. House Bill 3117 relating to interstate highway speeds. House Bill 3118 relating to Board of Property Tax Appeals. House Bill 3119 relating to county clerks. House Bill 3120 relating to marriage form issued by county clerk. House Bill 3121 relating to citizens' corps. House Bill 3122 relating to alternative incarceration programs. House Bill 3123 relating to alternative incarceration programs. House Bill 3124 relating to certificates of death. House Bill 3125 relating to former legal drug manufacturing sites. House Bill 3126 relating to financial affairs and municipal corporations to declare an emergency. House Bill 3127 relating to pesticides. House Bill 3128 relating to long-term care insurance. House Bill 3129 relating to public employee retirement. House Bill 3130 relating to crime. House Bill 3131 relating to children who are not taught in public schools and declare an emergency. House Bill 3132 relating to payments to adoptive parents. House Bill 3133 relating to foster care provided by employees of the Department of Human Services. House Bill 3134 relating to child welfare case works. House Bill 3135 relating to foster parents. House Bill 3136 relating to the Department of Human Services program money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3137 relating to the Department of Human Services program money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3138 relating to the Department of Human Services appropriate money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3139 relating to Department of Human Services appropriate money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3140 relating to civics education. House Bill 3141 relating to education and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3151 relating to public charter schools and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3153 related to land use planning. House Bill 3154 relating to appropriation of water.
The chair requests unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of business of first reading of Senate bills. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Senate Bill 48 relating to corporate tax revenues in excess of estimates and prescribing an effective date. Senate Bill 549 relating to elections, corporate money, and declaring an emergency.
The chair requests unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of business of the consent calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the bill and a short summary.
House Bill 2229 relating to interest on property tax refunds and prescribing an effective date. Limits interest on refunds for property tax overpayment to portion of overpayment not attributed to inaccurate taxpayer reports.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2229. The clerk will open the voting system. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Dingfelder, how do you vote?
Aye.
Votes aye. Representative Krieger, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Flores, how do you vote? Votes aye. All members have voted. House Bill 2229, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill and a short summary.
House Bill 2236, relating to property tax refunds and prescribing an effective date, permits counties to pay contested property tax refunds prior to conclusion of property tax appeals.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2236. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Lim, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Votes aye. All members have voted. House Bill 2236, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill and a short summary.
House Bill 2580, relating to the Western Oregon Onion Commission and declaring an emergency, abolishes Western Oregon Onion Commission.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2580. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Tomei, how do you vote? Off the floor. Off the floor. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Votes aye. All members present have voted. House Bill 2580, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill and a short summary.
House Bill 2228, relating to property tax returns, increases authority of county assessors to grant extensions of time for filing property tax returns.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2228. The clerk will open the voting system. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Dallum, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Kremel, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Votes aye. All members present have voted. House Bill 2228, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill and a short summary.
House Bill 2254, relating to personal records, imposes timelines for providing copies of allowing inspection of personal records.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2254. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Burley? Votes aye. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Votes no. Representative Kremel, how do you vote? Votes aye. All members present have voted. House Bill 2254, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Chair requests unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of business of third reading of House bills. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2109, relating to construction contractors.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2109A. Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I rise today to urge your support for House Bill 2109A, which passed unanimously out of the Consumer Protection Committee. This bill does the important task of unscrambling the current statute governing the Construction Contractors Licensing Act, which is found in ORS 701.055, which has been cluttered by many amendments and additions over the past several years. Because the existing licensing statute is lengthy and difficult to use, the Construction Contractors Board brought forward House Bill 2109 to break apart the statute into several sections, each dealing with one subject. This statutory reorganization makes the provisions easier to find and use. With the passage of House Bill 2109A, you will be able to go directly to, for example, the section on building permits or the CCB prepared consumer notification form. The statutory reorganization did not change policy, but it does include a clarification that cities, counties, and political subdivisions should be treated in the same manner throughout the statute. Finally, the Dash 1 amendments, which are found in Section 14 of the engrossed bill, clarify that contractors can face CCB license suspension, revocation, or other sanctions when they are out of compliance with legal requirements such as Oregon tax, unemployment, or workers' compensation laws. The Dash 1 amendments codify these provisions and should help contractors with compliance by setting out specifically when CCB can take action in the area of licensing. This is a good bill, and I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Bonamici, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Madam Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gelster, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Nelson, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Lim, votes aye. Representative Wisnant, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Brune, for what purpose do you rise?
I rise to, in hindsight, declare a potential conflict on the last bill.
State your conflict.
Thank you. I should have done it beforehand, but I work for a commercial contractor.
On House Bill 2109, is
correct.
That? Okay. Correct. Representative Brune declares a conflict on House Bill 2109A. Conflict so noted. Representative Schaffler, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The same thing. I'm a licensed contractor in the state of Oregon.
Representative Schaffler declares a conflict on House Bill 2109A. Conflict is duly noted. Representative Thatcher, for what purpose do you rise?
Well, since everybody else is declaring a potential conflict of interest, I will pile on, even though we're just rearranging the words. Thank you.
Representative Thatcher declares a conflict on House Bill 2109A. Conflict is noted. All members present have voted. House Bill 2109. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Boone, for what purpose do you rise?
The same. Declare a potential conflict of interest as I'm a half owner of a construction company.
Representative Boone declares a potential conflict of interest on House Bill 2109A. Conflict is noted. House Bill 2109A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2149, related to penalties for violation of laws governing alcoholic beverages.
The question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2149. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2149 comes to you from the Committee on the Judiciary, where it was passed out unanimously. House Bill 2149 is a product of the Attorney General's Underage Drinking Task Force. The bill expands the authority of the court to order alcohol assessment and treatment for persons of any age who commit minor in possession and all other alcohol offenses for the first time. Currently, this is only the case for adults between the ages of 18 and 20, but as we know, people under the age of 18 can have problems with alcohol as well. This bill also requires assessment and treatment for repeat underage offenders. According to information we had at committee, House Bill 2149 has no fiscal impact, is a good bill, and deserves your aye vote.
Further discussion? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, this is a good bill, but there's something missing, and that's the money to make it happen. So on behalf of my district's judicial group, I would just like to read this statement. They say, I would recommend supporting the bill. I would, though, add one caveat. If the courts are going to refer more underage drinkers for assessment and treatment, the legislature will need to make sure counties have adequate resources to provide the assessments and treatment. In other words, good bill, but does have a financial impact. I think it's appropriate for me to mention also, in the current Judicial Department State of Oregon Best Practices Memorandum, February 6th, this is already in their activities, and they also tell us in Part 2 that there will be a $150 assessment fee payable directly to corrections. So somewhere we've got a money problem, and hopefully over the Senate they'll take care of it.
Further discussion? Seeing no one further in the queue, Representative Barker, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you. Colleagues, when we did discuss this at the committee, there was way it would be funded primarily is the person who is receiving the treatment would pay the assessment for that. But I thank the good representative from McMinnville for her input.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Votes aye. All members present have voted. House Bill 2149, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2340, relating to evidence.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2340. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Today, colleagues, bring to you House Bill 2340. Was brought to us by the Oregon District Attorneys, came through the Judiciary Committee with a unanimous vote. House Bill 2340 allows the prosecution, if a defendant in a sex crime chooses to take the stand and testify, they may use prior conviction of sex crimes to disqualify that or impeach that witness. That's pretty much what the bill does, and it's a good bill to help help us with those types of issues.
Is there further discussion? Seeing no one further in the queue, Representative Cameron, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Nelson, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2340, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2348, relating to health insurance policies.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2348A. Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Bill 2348 comes at you from the House Committee on Health Care with a unanimous do pass recommendation. This bill requires individual health insurance policies to provide coverage or reimbursement of expenses for medical treatment of injuries or illnesses that resulted from the insured's use of alcohol or controlled substances. Now, in practice, what happens, we heard from doctors and others and insurers, is that patients who have had an accident as the result of their use of a controlled substance or intoxication will go to the hospital with an injury, they'll receive treatment, and the hospital will bill the insured company, not indicating that they were under the influence at the time in order to ensure that they receive the payment. The problem with this is twofold. First, the patients are much less likely to receive referral from that emergency room doctor to alcohol or drug addiction screening and treatment. Also, it makes it harder for folks to gather accurate statistics on the degree to which alcohol or other controlled substances are related to accidents. This bill was amended in committee to clarify that the requirement does not apply to disability policies, and it does change a statute on the book that dates back to the 1940s when the hope was to discourage alcoholism and other controlled substances by allowing insured companies to deny coverage on that basis. It has support from major stakeholders. It's a good bill. It should pass. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Yes. If I'm riding in a car legally intoxicated, the driver is a designated driver and not intoxicated, and we're passing through an intersection on a green light and somebody runs into us and there's damage that would send me to a hospital, is your bill proposing that that I be the one who goes through the that I be one who is then reported by the hospital to a...
Thank you for your question. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm willing to yield to a follow-up or clarifying question, but I believe you're wondering whether this bill would require reporting of your intoxication based on an injury that was caused by another driver. There is nothing in this bill, to my understanding, that requires any kind of reporting at all. It simply makes it more likely that hospitals and doctors will be willing to refer their patients to alcohol or other screening and treatment, knowing that they don't have to fear the insurance company's ability to deny the claim if it's keyed in with the alcohol or drug code on it.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and thank you, Carrie.
Seeing no one further in the queue, Representative Cannon, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2348. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Riley, how do you vote? Votes aye. And the chair votes aye. House Bill 2348, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2379, relating to criminal procedure.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2379. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2379 comes to you from the Committee on the Judiciary, where it passed unanimously. The bill allows a district attorney to treat a felony or of unlawful possession of heroin or ecstasy as a Class A misdemeanor. Colleagues, probably a lot of you got emails about this bill because people just saw that and reacted quickly. This is not a soft-on-crime bill. This is definitely actually works in the opposite direction. As many of you probably remember, in the 2005 session, we changed the controlled substances statute to make it easier to track prosecutions for specific drugs. We carved out specific statutes for each of the major controlled substances, cocaine, heroin, marijuana, ecstasy, and meth. But an unintended consequence arose out of these changes. District attorneys could no longer treat Class C or Class B non-person felonies as a Class A misdemeanor. This bill gives the discretion back to the district attorney. The reason we need this bill is that district attorneys need the ability to prioritize more serious felonies. Particularly for first-time possession offenders, probation with treatment is more appropriate and cost-effective, a more cost-effective sentence. When drug courts were first introduced in Portland, I know you'll find it hard to believe, but I was real skeptical about that. I thought it was just some other ploy to avoid dealing with the problem, but I was wrong. The drug courts really work great, and I've attended a graduation of drug court graduates out in Hillsboro. This law will allow the district attorney to make the decision. That's who's making the decision. It isn't the defendant can come in and say they want a bargain. And the cases they're normally talking about in these are possessions of small amounts, the heroin pipe with residue in it, those kind of things. If they're charged with a felony, it's such a low offense, nothing will happen, and when it charges a Class A, we can put people into treatment. The courts can put people into treatment, and not only will we save money, but more importantly, there's a great chance we'll be able to save that person and get them back into productivity. The bill does have a fiscal impact, but it's a good kind, largely because of the savings for Public Defense Services Commission and the Department of Justice. This is a very good bill and deserves your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barker, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Votes aye. Votes no. Representative Minnis, how do you vote? Votes no. Representative Gilman, how do you vote? No. Representative Gilliam, you've got yours. Representative Boquist. Representative Rosenbaum. Votes aye. Representative Crummell. Votes no. Gilliam votes no. House Bill 2379, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 2460, relating to Oregon family leave.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2460. Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, it's my great pleasure to bring you House Bill 2460, which comes to you from your Committee on Business and Labor with a unanimous aye vote. Colleagues, House Bill 2460 is about making a clear distinction between workers' compensation and Oregon family leave. These are two separate and distinct programs, and Oregon has been a national leader on both, having the first family leave laws in the country, which became a model for the national law, as well as our workers' comp system, which has also become a model to the nation. Current law allows employers to discriminate against injured workers who, upon returning to work after an on-the-job injury, find that they may have unknowingly used all of their allotted 12 weeks of Oregon family leave time. House Bill 2460 will remove the workers' compensation from application under Oregon family leave law and rectify this injustice. Under the Oregon Family Leave Act, workers are entitled to a maximum of 12 weeks of family leave within any one-year period. And currently, a workers' compensation law qualifies as a serious health condition under Oregon Family Leave Law. This results in the time away from work relating to an on-the-job injury being counted against an employee's entitlement of 12 weeks of family leave. So what can happen is you have a serious injury on the job, you're out for a period of time, you come back to work, and you find out that you have exhausted your Oregon family leave law. Now, the Oregon workers' compensation system is supposed to be a no-fault system, supposed to be the worker who's hurt through no fault of their own gets time off the job that they need to recover, as well as medical treatment and wage replacement. It was never intended that that time off should be counted and deducted from the Oregon Family Leave Law, which is there to take care of newborn children, newly adopted children, or a family member with a serious health condition requiring hospitalization or resulting in death. This issue first came to my attention 2 years ago when I was contacted by a constituent who had exactly that situation happen. She was injured on the job. She was out for more than 12 weeks, came back to work, and was told that she had no more time off under Oregon family leave. It was a real problem for her because she had a family member with a terminal illness and was facing the need to take time off. So I really think this is not the way these laws were originally intended to work. People should not be forced to choose between their job and their family. We can rectify this by passing House Bill 2460, and I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Rosenbaum, do you wish to close? She does not. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Reed, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Gilliam, votes aye. Representative Wisnett, votes aye. Representative Crummell, votes no. House Bill 2460, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Chair requests unanimous consent to move to the bottom of today's third reading calendar, House Bills 5011A and House Bill 5034. Without objection, let me move to the end of the calendar. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 2150, relating to minor decoy operations.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2150. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Bill 2150 comes to us from the Attorney General's on underage drinking. And maybe it wasn't on underage drinking, I'm sorry, but it was something to do with the Attorney General's and drinking, because we've heard so much about that. So maybe I had one too many before I started this bill today or something. Who knows? But this last call for... What this bill does, currently, the OLCC has to operate random decoy checks within the full population of the city. This bill allows them to cut that down to a population of 20,000 people to do that random decoy check. Saves them time from having to drive from one end of a big town to another end of a big town. It still becomes random. It is not one where they would isolate a particular business. It's a good bill to help them with their efficiencies and to cut down on problems that we have with either minors or other people that are abusing alcohol within our state. So thank you for allowing me to stumble through that.
See no one further in the queue. Representative Cameron, do you wish to close? I think he does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Minnis, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Jensen, votes aye. Representative Thatcher, votes aye. Representative Bonamici? Representative Bonamici, off the floor. All members have voted, and House Bill 2150A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2253, relating to agency enforcement authority.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2253. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2253 comes to you from your Committee on Workforce and Economic Development. The bill saves our state both time and money by avoiding lawsuits to enforce investigative subpoenas issued by the Bureau of Labor and Industries. Most Oregon regulatory agencies, including the Bureau of Labor and Industries, have statutory authority to issue subpoenas to investigate compliance with laws they enforce and to require production of evidence for contested cases. The Oregon Administrative Procedures Act, or APA, provides authority for state agencies, including BOLI, to compel compliance with subpoenas for evidence in contested cases by petitioning a state court for enforcement. However, the APA does not provide authority for agencies to enforce compliance with investigative subpoenas. Examples of other entities or agencies that already have statutory authority to enforce their investigative subpoenas include the Office of the Secretary of State, Real Estate Commissioner, the Employment Relations Board, the Oregon State Bar, the Department of Consumer and Business Services, Civil Service Commission, arbitrators of public employee collective bargaining agreements, the Public Utility Commission, Oregon Board of Dentistry, Oregon Racing Commission, Employment Department, State Fire Marshal, Adult and Family Services, OLCC, and the Oregon Department of Revenue. Absent Boley's ability to enforce investigative subpoenas, it is necessary for the Bureau to file lawsuits in order to ask a court to enforce its subpoenas. This is a needlessly expensive and time-consuming process. Here's a recent example. Last spring, the Bureau investigated complaints from petition signature gatherers alleging violation of state wage and hour laws. However, in order to compel the signature gathering firm's owner to turn over payroll records, the Bureau was forced, by lack of its subpoena enforcement authority, to go to the circuit court on three different occasions for enforcement of its order. In this instance alone, the Bureau was forced to pay the Department of Justice more than $7,000 for their work in getting the subpoena enforced in court. In addition, the Bureau's ability to process the case was delayed by nearly 6 months. So what is it that House Bill 2253 does? In short, the bill provides authority for the Bureau to petition a state circuit court to compel obedience with a Bureau subpoena. It also clarifies that Boley will adopt internal procedures for the issuance of investigative subpoenas, which include the ability of a respondent to object to the legality of the Bureau's investigative request. I urge your support for this bill because the Bureau needs straightforward statutory authority to petition state circuit courts for enforcement of all of their subpoenas. And secondly, because passage of House Bill 2253 will conserve the resources of both the Bureau and our state's court system. Colleagues, most state agencies already have specific statutory authority to petition circuit courts to enforce their investigative subpoenas. It is now time to add the Bureau of Labor and Industries to that list. I urge your aye vote on House Bill 2253.
Further discussion, Representative Gerard.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I would just like to make a few points. The first is, in 93 and when I was here, there's a reason that we have not given Boley the ultimate subpoena power. There's been a long history of problems with this agency abusing its power and playing politics with the workforce and with businesses in general. This bill, from the Boley file itself, this is what the bill does. This bill, if passed, would provide the Bureau with statutory authority to enforce compliance with investigative subpoenas. As it is now, they have to go before the courts in order to enforce the subpoena. This gives them an enforceable subpoena. I know that Chair Witt gave an example of how they use $7,000, but for gosh sakes, this was to do with an election process, and I do not believe that Boley, of all agencies, should be involved in interfering with the petition process. This is a very simple vote. If you think Boley should have subpoena power, by all means, vote yes. But if you think that we need a safeguard on Boley, vote no.
Further discussion, Representative Schaffler.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. I couldn't agree more with my friend over here about this agency. And the problem started when their budgets were cut in half before the current commissioner was in office, making it almost impossible for them to do their job. So I agree. We've had issues. I think the issues are being dealt with and dealt with very well by this commissioner. I urge your aye vote on this bill.
Further discussion, Representative Richardson.
Madam Speaker, colleagues, what we're being asked to do is to give an agency the power to decide when it's appropriate to use a subpoena to which can be so burdensome for individual businesses. The reason that subpoenas are issued by courts is so that there will be a neutral arbiter that will make this determination as to whether a subpoena is appropriate or not appropriate. We should not give Boley this kind of power. It's our opportunity to say, no, you're an agency, act like an agency. If you want a subpoena, go to court like anybody else. Vote no.
For the discussion, seeing no one further in the queue, Representative Witt, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. Once again, there are a litany of other state agencies that already possess this power. This bill simply avoids the unnecessary expenditures of both time, effort, and state money going to court to be able to enforce a subpoena, which Boley already regulates. With that, I urge your aye vote, and Madam Speaker, I request a call of the House.
Representative Witt requests a call of the House. He is joined by Representative Schaffler, Representative Barker, Representative Holvey, Representative Beyer, Representative David Edwards, and that is it. The Sergeant at Arms will, the doorkeepers will bar the doors. Sergeant-at-Arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Barnhart-Berger. Beyer. Beyer. Bonamici. Bonamici-Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Butler. Butler-Cameron. Cannon. Cannon-Clem. Clem-Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gelzer, Gelzer-Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Hannah Holvey, Holvey Hunt, Hunt Jensen, Jensen Comp, Kotek, Kotek Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Scott Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Barnhart, Bonamici, Butler, Cannon, Clem, Gelzer, Hannah, Hunt, Jensen, Kotek, Scott, Mr. Speaker.
Members, stand at ease. We're waiting for absent members. Representative Witt, you are in the queue. Okay.
On the call.
Actually, we are not going to recognize that motion at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you.
All members subject to the call are present. Members, we are voting on House Bill 2253. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Boone, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Galizio, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Morgan, how do you vote? Votes no. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Dallum, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Krieger, how do you vote? Votes no. Representative Gilman, how do you vote? Votes no. And Representative Merkley, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2253, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2259 relating to filing of retaliation complaint under occupational safety laws and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2259. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, this bill, if passed as amended, would extend the current 30-day limit to 90 days for workers to file a discrimination complaint allegedly retaliation for filing a complaint under OSHA. Current law prohibits discrimination against employees because the employee's complaint about or in opposition to health and safety hazards in the workplace. The Bureau of Labor and Industry, through its Civil Rights Division, is responsible for enforcing the prohibitions against discrimination. Under current law, employees or prospective employees have reason to believe that they have been discriminated against may file with the Civil Rights Division within 30 days of the time the alleged discrimination occurred. Firing or adverse employment action to the employee believes that was a result in the opposition of the health and safety hazard in the workplace. This legislation, if passed as amended, extends the 30-day limit to 90 days for workers to file discrimination complaint for retaliation for filing a complaint under OSHA protections because complainants are often not aware of their right to file until the narrow statutory time frame has expired. All other civil rights violations that the Bureau of Labor enforces allow a worker up to a year to file a complaint alleging discrimination or retaliatory treatment. The OSHA division supports 2259. There is no expected fiscal impact due to this bill. The House Business and Labor Committee unanimously passed this bill to the floor, and I urge a yes vote on 2259. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing no one in the queue, Representative Esquivel, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Galizio, how do you vote? Representative Galizio, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Nolan has already voted. All members have voted. House Bill 2259, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Colleagues, we will be entertaining a recess motion until 2 o'clock. Are there any announcements? Representative Hunt.
Just an announcement for committee chairs. For committee chairs that are meeting this afternoon, I would just encourage you, being cognizant of the time right now, to go ahead and convene your committees and just be aware that we may truly fully come in at 2 o'clock. Or we may come back in and just do another recess motion until another point later this afternoon. So I don't think you should let that impact your committees. I think committees can proceed. Committee chairs may want to announce right now if you're going to defer past 1 o'clock based on the fact that it's already 12:35. But I would encourage committees at both slots this afternoon to meet.
Further announcements, Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Education Subcommittee. We'll meet at 1:15.
Further announcements, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The House Revenue Committee will meet as soon after 1 o'clock as members can get there. I want to finish the hearing that we began yesterday and begin the other hearings. We have a lot of work to do. So, members, please come to the committee as soon as you can make it, after 1 o'clock.
Further announcements, Representative Dingfelder.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Energy and Environment Committee will meet promptly at 1:10.
Further announcements, Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The House Committee on Consumer Protection will meet at 1:20.
Further announcements, Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. For the Subcommittee on Access of the House Committee on for the House Committee on Health Care, scheduled to meet from 3 to 5, I just want to warn the members that we really have a lot of work to do today, and we, pending the schedule, we may need to stay later than 5 o'clock if that's feasible and necessary.
Further announcements? Representative Jensen, your motion? Representative Jensen, 2 o'clock.
Madam Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon.
Excuse me, one moment before we take that motion. Representative Nelson, you are in the queue. For what purpose do you rise?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I did not hear you call. For negative. Could it hit me. I lost it. Remonstrances. Did you call for them? I did not hear you.
Representative Nelson, we are only taking a recess motion at this point, so we are not at remonstrances yet. That will be done at the end of the day.
Okay, thank you.
And now, Representative Jensen, 2 o'clock.
Madam Speaker, move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon.
Representative Jensen moves the House stand in recess until 2 p.m. today. Is there objection? Colleagues, stay tuned. We will ring the bells if we will actually be coming to the floor at 2 o'clock. So please attend to that. And without further business to come before us, we are in recess.